Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. Today's message is part 4 in a 7-part Lenten series entitled The Case for Christ, with today's message specifically entitled Path to the Cure, based off of Psalm 23 and John chapter 9 verses 1 through 7 and 35 through 41. Let us dive into the Word today. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. From John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7, and verses 35 through 41. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. "Rabbi," his disciples asked him, "why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins?"
"It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins," Jesus answered. "This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. But while I am in the world, I am the light of the world."
Then he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him,
"Go, wash yourself in the pool of Siloam."
Siloam means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. When Jesus heard what had happened, he found the man and asked him,
"Do you believe in the Son of Man?"
The man answered, "Who is he, sir? I want to believe in him."
"You have seen him," Jesus said, "and he is speaking to you."
"Yes, Lord, I believe," the man said, and he worshiped Jesus. Then Jesus told him,
"I entered this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind and to show those who think they see that they are blind."
Some of the Pharisees who were standing nearby heard him and asked,
"Are you saying we're blind?"
"If you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty," Jesus replied. "But you remain guilty because you claim you can see."
Amen. Blindness is a human condition. We believe we understand the big picture, and that we know where we are going in life and how to get there. And if we feel lost, we turn to others who we think can help guide us to where we think we are going. The truth is, however, that on our own, we are all blind, and there is only one path that leads to the cure. One of the things I have led in the past is something called a trust walk. Perhaps you have done it in the past as well. If not, during this activity, we split the group in half, and the first group of people get blindfolded, and then after that, the second group of people get individually paired randomly with one of the blindfolded people. The blindfolded person has no clue who he or she is paired up with, nor does he or she know that their partner is going to be guiding them around blindfolded. Now, this activity causes the blindfolded person to put their trust in whoever is guiding them. Some do this better than others, but ultimately you have no choice. As the person starts to move you, you move with them and you have to put your trust in them. because they are, these people who are blindfolded are in a vulnerable place where they cannot help but acknowledge their blindness. Now, whether or not we have done the trust walk before, we are all in need of a guide, even if you don't want to admit it. The truth is that on our own, we are all blind. We may think we know the path to love, joy, and peace. However, we are actually blind to what those things are, and instead we chase after happiness and gratification and other such things. Now, of course, I'm referring to spiritual blindness, and that is the natural state of humanity. The question for us is, what is the path to the cure for our blindness? In the Gospel of John, Jesus and the disciples came across a man who was born physically blind. And the disciples, of course, wanted to know whose fault it was that he was born blind. Was it his own fault, or was it the fault of his parents? And of course, that exposed their own blindness. And Jesus corrected them and then afterward interacted with this man who, because of his lack of sight, knew he was in a need of the Lord's help and eagerly accepted it. Despite being physically blind, this man could actually see who Jesus was, and he could actually see his need for him. Let me ask you this. Aside from the disciples, who else got exposed as being the ones who were truly blind? If you said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you were right, for they believed that they had superior sight to everyone else. They were educated men who were appointed as spiritual leaders over all of Israel, and that they were the ones who were most fit to be the leaders. So when the formerly blind man who was uneducated dared to tell them who Jesus really was, they were infuriated, and they expelled him from the temple. Of course, Jesus later revealed to them that they were the blind ones because they thought they could see, while the man who knew he was blind was the one who could truly see, and he found the path to the cure of his blindness. The path was humility, and it led, of course, to the cure, Jesus Christ. In the light of Scripture, where do you fit into this account? Which of the characters do you honestly most relate to? Are you the disciples, eager learners who are also blinded to the bigger picture by their rush to judgment? Are you one of the Pharisees, blinded by your own pride? Let us pause and let those questions sit for a moment while we listen to what Joe has to share on spiritual blindness.
Well, sometimes our vision can be 20/20, and yet we still can't see it, especially in those times of darkness. But it's a spiritual darkness. See, we're blinded by the things of the world that we see. And during these times, I remember what you said about something that attracted, we've heard all of our lives, you know. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, through it. And one key word is you walk through. That was very interesting when you brought that up, because we don't stop there. We just move through. No matter how dark something is, no matter how bad it seems, ultimately in the end, I think it always works out for Jesus' plan. At the time, it doesn't. It looks like all is lost. But later on, when you find, you look back, that actually some good things came out of it. Because like the old saying goes, it's an ill wind that doesn't blow somebody some good, no matter how bad it is. And we walk through that valley, and sometimes it can be a valley of sickness or separation or addiction, and sometimes even death. But we don't stay there, you see, and because all good things come to an end, and also all bad things come to an end. And nothing is really forever except God's love for us. The only thing that's eternal, the only thing we can really count on, that's our eternal hope. And so we can face these times with confidence, knowing that we're not really alone, walking through there, and through is the key word. And Jesus never leaves us alone, and he is always there. And we're never really so lost that he can't find us. We never go in a place where he doesn't know where we are. And so no matter how dark the shadows are, they will pass. And the dark night of our souls will become a new morning. And the sun will rise again. It's always his availability. You see, he's only a prayer away. Now, if I got on the phone today and tried to call up the Pope, I probably wouldn't get through. If I tried to call the President, or if I tried to call any important person, I'd be put on hold or just never get through. But you can always get through to Jesus. He's always there. He's never far. And even though we can't see him, you know, he's real. You just know. You know when he's near. Well, church is very important. See, it's more than just a group of people that get together once a week for an hour or so. It gives you strength and just to be with other Christians. Church has many different moods for me. I've been here, you know, when it's filled with people. And that's that, and you just enjoy being around people, and some people you just don't see all the time. And to come here and to do work during the day, and to see the kids and the people there, and you're all just kind of doing good things in this world, good things for the Lord and just good things for other people. And when you're helping other people, there you're doing Jesus' work.
Each one of us deals with blindness in some way or another. In fact, in the midst of this COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic, we feel more blind than we probably ever have because of all of the uncertainty and isolation. But as Joe reminded us, we are not alone, friends. We are not alone. Jesus is always near. And we can always reach out to him and represent him by reaching out to others. The great thing about Jesus is he's not even a phone call away. He's a prayer away. And he is as close to you as anything ever could be. All we need do is open our hearts to Jesus, and Jesus is there. We may feel like we are in the valley of the shadow of death currently, but friends, we are merely passing through, and this uncertainty will not last forever. Again, each one of us deals with blindness in some way or another, and none of us can claim to be Jesus. The question is, will we choose to hop on the path of humility to realize it? Sisters and brothers, what a liberation we can experience if we humble ourselves and recognize our need for the cure to our blind brokenness. This week, I challenge you to humbly reflect and open your hearts to Jesus. Put together a spiritual practices checklist, such as scripture reading, Bible study, worship, and other such things. And check them off throughout the week. And at the end of the week, give them up to God as an offering to God. Friends, If you are willing to develop spiritual discipline and humble yourselves, Jesus can and will give us all sight if we but open our hearts to him. That, my friends, we can assuredly embrace as good news. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are just so thankful for this time of challenge, this message that you are giving us to awaken to our own blindness, to humble ourselves so that we can recognize our blindness and look toward you for sight. Lord, we know that you will deliver on that if we just but open ourselves to you. And so, Lord, I trust that you are working in the lives of each and every one of us so that we may grow more humble and find ourselves walking the path to the cure. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And friends, this reminds me that I would like to invite you to check out our episode notes. I do want to thank you for tuning in. Again, this is part four of a seven-part Lenten series entitled The Case for Christ, and today's message was entitled The Path to the Cure. But I want to invite you to check out the episode notes. There are links there. I am also going to post in those notes links to our online worship. Last week we worshiped on Facebook Live, and that worked out well. I'm hoping to get us on YouTube this week. I've got a couple things to check out. We've got some new equipment to make that happen. We'll hopefully be on YouTube this week. So I will post the link to our church's YouTube page, and I will post the link to our church's Facebook page so that you can find us with ease. Now, some of you probably live in my community, others of you live nowhere near my community, and maybe some of you have your own church to attend. And if that's the case, by all means, attend your church. But if you're finding yourself isolated and in need of worship and want to continue or even start for the first time your own spiritual practices, then I would invite you to click on those links on Sunday at 10:30. Try the YouTube one first. If we're not on YouTube, then you can try the Facebook Live link. We'll be on either one of them. So if one doesn't work, try the other. But if that's you and you want to continue to develop, your spiritual practices, or maybe you're starting spiritual practices for the first time, then I invite you to join us if you have no other means of worship this Sunday. As always, friends, remember that you are richly blessed so that you may be a blessing to others. Go in peace.